I am Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. On the program today, we continue our series with Dr. Neufeld entitled Skillful Living. What does it mean to build your life from the inside out? Well, that's what we will discover today as we look at our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2 verses 1 to 22. As we begin to unpack what it means to live wisely, the book of Proverbs teaches us that wisdom begins from the inside. It's a lesson we must learn internally before we begin to apply it in our own lives. We began today reminding ourselves of how important it is to seek and desire wisdom more than anything else. For in so doing, we are seeking after God Himself. When we come back, Dr. Neufeld helps us to discover how to practically build our lives from the inside out. Just before we begin today, Dr. Neufeld, one of the reasons you are a Bible teacher is because of your deep passion for God's Word. Could you tell us how that came about?
Yeah, I'd be delighted to. You know, Anil, once I came to Christ, it was as if the Holy Spirit had immediately given me this passionate love for the Bible, and I started reading through my Bible. I've been doing that for many years now, but I did that immediately upon coming to Christ. And then when I entered into pastoral ministry, I made up my mind right at the start that I had absolutely nothing to share, but the Bible, because it is God's Word, has everything in the world to share. So I committed myself to knowing only that one thing.
Thank you very much, Dr. John. Now let's go back to the Bible with Dr. John Neufeld.
Suppose for a moment that you're eating red kimchi for the first time. Apparently in Korea, the further south you go, the spicier your kimchi becomes. I think the really spicy stuff, if you've never had it, well, it's going to make your eyes turn red and spin them around like a slot machine in your sockets, and fire is going to leap out of your throat. I can't eat it. But some people have trained their palate, and they love it, and they desire it, and they look for it. They eat it with joy and gladness, and I can't even nibble it. So it is with wisdom. When you train yourself to desire it, you'll find it delightful, and then you will prefer wisdom. Until you do so, you'll prefer folly, and you will only nibble at wisdom. But when you prefer wisdom, says verse 11, then discretion will watch over you. Now that word discretion can also be translated as shrewdness or level-headedness. That is, the person who has discretion is perceptive. That is, they become aware of how decisions will affect them and people around them over the long haul. And so they choose not looking at the moment, but looking down the road. Show me a person like that, and I'll show you a person who avoids a great many errors in life. Show me a person like that, and I'll show you a person who knows how to live well. Now, remember that the setting of Proverbs 2 is the conversation between a father and a son. The father knows that the son needs examples of how wisdom protects you from a great deal of evil. Indeed, the second half of this poem, from verses 12 to 22, shows us how wisdom on the inside leads to strength in two key areas on the outside. The first area of strength is the ability to resist evil people and easy money. Verses 12 to 15 says, "Delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways." Now, who are these men? A part of the clue is found in verse 13, in which we find that they have forsaken the path of uprightness. That means that at some time, they must have been near it. The images of men who have grown up in homes and in a community where God was honored, but have abandoned that path. You know, there are men like Esau, who could not see the value of his birthright, simply traded it away. Remember the day Esau was hungry, his brother said, "I'll sell you this bowl of lentil stew for your birthright." And Esau said, "What good's a birthright? Give me some stew." And the Bible says, he despised his birthright. He saw no value in his spiritual heritage and gladly gave it away for an immediate advantage. That's who these men in Proverbs are. And the father in Proverbs knows that these evil men come from the same background as his son. His son could easily form a friendship with them. And the father is greatly concerned over the influence they might have over him. See, why is it possible for the young man to lose his own way and follow them? And the answer is that these men are men of perverted speech. Another translation calls them seductive speech. The father is concerned that the persuasiveness of these men will be greater than the persuasiveness of the father. And when it comes right down to it, when the son becomes an adolescent and then later becomes a man, the father knows that others will have a greater impact on his son than he has. And by the way, a word to parents. When you have young children in your home, there is no greater authority in your kid's life than you. What you do models for your children. More than anything else, young kids want to be like their parents. But the days of primary influence over your children will come to an end, and it will end quickly. Your kids will begin to change, and as they do, other voices start getting larger and louder, and soon yours becomes quieter. That's why you want to direct your kids while you can. Get them to a Bible-directed, God-directed youth group. Make sure that you're within the house of God. Train them at home. Begin to stack the deck in your favor with godly friends and leaders they admire. But even after you've done that, you're going to still find that there will be those who invite your kids on the pathway of evil. See, back in chapter 1, that way of evil was associated with young men who were criminals. Inviting the young man to join them in the life of crime, they promised the young man easy money. But if a young man or woman has been trained in the wisdom of God and developed a palate for it, God will act on their behalf and protect them, and they will be able to resist evil and easy money. Now to verses 16 to 19. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. There are several pictures here that are significant. First of all, notice how alluring this woman is. Her words are said to be smooth. The idea of being smooth is a biblical image used several times. It always means someone who is deceptive, someone who flatters someone else, but all the while is using that flattery to get what they want. So the woman with smooth words is a flattering woman who tells the young man everything his ego wants to hear. He hears from her lips that he's good-looking and strong and desirable and that he's the man. He's never met a woman who so believes in him. Please see the picture. This is not the picture of a sexually immoral young man who's willing to sleep around. This is the picture of a young man who's bought a purity ring, who dreams that one day he will stand at the altar and two young people committed to sexual purity until marriage. But this young woman opens up doors with her words that he's never heard before and ignites a flame in his heart. She dresses in a way that none of the women he knew before ever dressed, and she knows how to get to him. Now, the wise father actually knows about women like this, even though his son will learn about them later. But the wise father knows something else about women like this, something that this woman doesn't even know about herself. The house that this woman is living in is sinking not just a few centimeters or even a meter, but it's sinking all the way down to Sheol, to the land where the dead live, to the land of sadness and horror, to the land where none escape. The father also knows that those who go to her actually share in her destiny. Of course, this can happen the other way around as well. It can be the story of a young woman with a purity ring. Or it can be a number of other stories of sexual misadventure, sexual sin, followed by sexual sorrow. And the wise father knows he can't possibly be there for all of these scenarios. And that's what wisdom does. If the heart of his son has developed a palate for wisdom, if he learns to fear God, has an insight into the nature and dynamic of sexual temptation, he will find, as verse 7 says, God will provide for him a shield. Now, the father is using but two examples of the kind of things that threaten the young man's well-being. He is using them as an example of the reason why you want to develop a palate whereby you find wisdom overwhelmingly desirable. Let me add also that while this is good for young men and women, it is also something that the rest of us need to heed. First of all, the good news of the gospel to those who have abandoned the good path is always the same. The first is to come to Christ, to repent and to receive His boundless forgiveness. There can be a new point of beginning. God can bring you purity where there has been none. Without the grace of Christ, however, there can be no point of beginning, but with Him, all things can be made new. You can be the one who has tasted every kind of evil and still find grace and mercy before His altar. But all of us need, no matter what age we are, to develop a palate, a taste for wisdom. We must know that the good life is built from the inside out. The reason you fall into the same sin over and over again is because something is lacking on the inside. What's lacking is an overwhelming desire for that which is good. Proverbs is so helpful. Our palates can be trained.
Thanks so much for joining us today. You know, these days it seems like people in our society are more concerned about how to be happy above everything else. But sadly, too many are looking for it in all the wrong places. The Bible teaches us something radically different, that the secret to happiness is found in wisdom. And when we do, we discover who God is and how to follow Him.
Back to the Bible is pleased to present our Bible calendar, now available as a free gift to our listeners. The Bible reading calendar has historically been a wonderful resource for spiritual encouragement, but the calendar's primary goal is to guide you through the reading of the Bible in 1 year using Dr. Neufeld's unique Bible reading plan. So ask for your free copy today by calling 9492440070, that is 9492440070, or send a request by email at info@backtothebible.in. Email at info@backtothebible.in.